Good afternoon. From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. The U.S. Coast Guard rescued a pilot after his small plane crashed near Haines on Sunday. In an interview with KCAW, Chief Petty Officer Travis McGee said that around 8:30 a.m., the Coast Guard received a signal from the emergency locator transmitter of a two-seat single-engine airplane over the Chilkat Range, approximately 35 miles south of Haines.
So the Coast Guard reached out to the Haines Airport, who confirmed that there was an aircraft matching that description. It was a two-seat single-engine airplane that had departed earlier that morning, but it had not returned.
Around 10:30 a.m., a five-person helicopter crew from Air Station Sitka located the pilot and overturned aircraft near the Endicott River. McGee said the pilot walked away from the incident unscathed.
So we're very thankful that this case resulted in the way that it did, with this individual having no reports of back injuries.
The helicopter crew transported the pilot back to the Juneau Airport. The pilot met with emergency medical services, but he did not request any assistance from them and was released shortly afterwards. Southeast Alaska's Regional Native Corporation has announced its new president. Ansha Watke Sarah Dibdahl will be the first woman to hold the position since the Alaska's founding in 1972. The corporation's board of directors voted to appoint Dibdahl, according to a press release. She currently directs the Office of the President at the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska and previously led the Huna Heritage Foundation. In her new role, she will manage Sea Alaska's local operations, like their workforce development program. Board Chair Richard Reinhart says the search for a president took longer than he imagined, but he said Dibdahl's background in Alaska Native leadership made her a strong candidate.
We wanted somebody that was going to have a new, fresh perspective, but still be very knowledgeable of where we're at and what we're trying to achieve. And I think she has all of that.
Sea Alaska changed its leadership structure amidst the departure of Anthony Malott, who served as both president and CEO. Now the roles are separate. Terry Downs, the current Sea Alaska CEO, leads Sea Alaska's business investments. Joe Nelson has served as an interim president since last year and will continue to serve on Sea Alaska's board of directors. Dibdahl was unavailable for comment Tuesday afternoon. Her salary is undecided, but Reinhart says it will be competitive. She starts next month. And during Juneau's record-breaking glacial outburst flood earlier this month, the Alaska Department of Transportation completed one of its most complex drone missions to date. KTOO's Alex Solomon has a story.
A handful of DOT drone pilots filmed Juneau's temporary levee consistently during the major flood stage of the event. That included overnight footage using infrared cameras. The agency live-streamed that footage to keep emergency managers informed as floodwaters rose, crested, and receded. Patrick Dreyer is an avalanche and geohazard specialist at DOT in Juneau. He says this was a new feat for the department.
So we're able to essentially monitor this remotely without having personnel, in the field for a 12-hour period there.
He says they were able to do that because the drones they used, called SkyDO X10, connect to Starlink and wireless broadband and can fly long distances in urban areas. Christopher Goins is a regional director at DOT. He says that observing a disaster in real time without putting staff in dangerous places wouldn't have been possible a few years ago.
Okay, the world is suddenly changing for us. This is a big deal.
He says that surveillance was focused on infrastructure, the HESCO barriers that make up the temporary levee and bridges over the river, not on people. He says people did appear in the live stream incidentally.
Whether that was being on the barriers, hanging out behind the barriers, laser pointing the drones.
Goins says that if the levee broke, which would have triggered a flash flood, the drone teams would have assisted rescue operations. The drones are equipped with thermal cameras that can pick people out, even in the dark.
If we saw somebody in the water, we were to stay with them.
Then they would call Capital City Fire and Rescue and hover there until rescue arrived. Goins says DOT uses drones regularly for construction and maintenance. He hopes to expand the department's capacity to help local emergency managers in the region quickly respond to disasters like floods, landslides, and avalanches. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And the federal government is in the process of rewriting the rules for how it issues federal contracts. In some Alaska Native organizations, which depend on federal contracts to pay out benefits to shareholders, are concerned that it could impact their business. Alonia Nyden with the Alaska Desk reports.
Christopher Slotty is an attorney who works with Alaska Native villages, regional corporations, and tribal governments. He was previously a vice president of the Old Harbor Native Corporation. Slotty says that over the years, more and more Native corporations have turned to federal contracts for revenue, which then gets paid out to shareholders. But he says this could change.
If there is a reduction in federal contracting dollars available to Alaska Native corporations, or they don't have as much success in that arena, they would reduce in size, at least on a revenue basis, which could have an impact on dividends because there's less money to distribute to the shareholders, could reduce the number of other benefits.
The concern is that the federal government is currently rewriting its rules for awarding contracts. That's a result of an executive order President Trump signed in April. It directs the government to remove unnecessary contracting rules that are not required by statute. Alaska Native Corporations, or ANCs, were established under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act in 1971 to manage lands. Over time, the corporations have steadily increased their share of government contracts, mainly from the U.S. Department of Defense. In 2021, Alaska Native corporations received more than $11 billion from federal contract revenue, according to data from the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. In fact, the research states that federal contracting is the primary source of revenue for ANCs. Slotty says that in part, ANCs' participation in federal contracts has grown because Congress gave tribes and corporations easier access to the U.S. Small Business Administration programs.
It provides a little bit more level playing field for ANCs to compete for work. They don't have to compete with like Boeing or Northrop Grumman, right? These really massive multinational companies.
Slotty says one worry Alaska Native contractors have is that the government might remove something called the Rule of Two. The rule is not a law, but it directs government agencies to set aside projects to small businesses if two or more small businesses are able to do them. The concern is that Trump's executive order says to remove all rules that aren't law, like the Rule of Two. Slotty says that eliminating the rule could make it difficult for small businesses, including Native contractors, to compete for the work. Quinton Carroll is the executive director of the Native American Contractors Association, who is originally from Utqiagvik.
Kind of the Native contractors, we're keeping a really close eye on that to kind of ensure there's continued small business participation in federal contracting.
Another separate executive order from the president directs the federal government to eliminate waste by consolidating procurement. That means that instead of individual agencies like the Department of Defense, for example, shopping for a contractor, the broader General Service Administration would award all contracts. Carroll says this can also hurt Native contractors.
A lot of what they're looking at doing is using larger contract vehicles, which makes it difficult for small businesses to be participants.
Slotty says that other recent changes that can affect Native contracting include workforce reduction within the Small Business Administration and lowering the small business contracting goals for agencies. The deadline for rewriting federal contracting regulations is in the middle of October, according to the executive order. Other changes around contracting are ongoing. In Anchorage, I am Alona Naiden.
And a candidate running for a seat on the Sitka Assembly is suing the city over what he claims were restrictions on his ability to comment on police department Facebook posts. KCAW's Hope McKenney reports.
Austin Cranford filed the lawsuit in Alaska's U.S. District Court on August 18th. In the court filing, Cranford says in June he told city officials that the Sitka Police Department was violating the First Amendment by restricting public comments on its official Facebook page. In emails included in the suit, Municipal Administrator John Leach responded to Cranford, saying members of the public can't post comments on the police department's page or posts. However, in early August, Cranford says someone was able to comment on a post about an upcoming department event, contradicting Leach's statement. Cranford claims the discrepancy deprives him of his First Amendment right to free speech in a public forum maintained by the city. Cranford, who is running for a seat on the Sitka Assembly this fall, claims that the city's actions have hindered his ability to communicate with the public and campaign politically. Cranford asks the federal court to declare the selective comment policy on the police department's Facebook page to be unconstitutional. He also asks that the court require the city to open the comments section on official social media pages to all members of the public equally and to award him nominal damages and attorney's fees. In a letter to Sitkins, Cranford said he hopes the lawsuit will serve to, quote, defend a fundamental right, restore public trust, and hold those responsible accountable, end quote. Austin Cranford is the son of former police sergeant Gary Cranford, who sued the city in 2023, alleging he was unfairly demoted from sergeant to officer in breach of his union contract. The case was settled out of court earlier this year. Cranford walked away with over $300,000, and the city continues to deny liability in the case. A request for comment from city officials was not returned by press time. In Sitka, I'm Hope McKenney.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 69 degrees and fairly sunny this afternoon. It's expected to stay clear tonight with a low of 52 degrees. Tomorrow, the high is also going to be around 70 degrees and sunny. And it looks like this weather pattern will hold through the rest of the week, with temperatures breaking into the low 70s. You're listening to KTOO.